Hello?
Hello, who's that?
It's Mr. Blacknell. It's Steve Blacknell, Maggie. Hello.
Steve Blacknell, bloody hell. Hello.
I'm alive.
You're still what, there.
What about you? You sound like you always have. And how's it been with you in what is probably the weirdest year we've all had, probably?
It's been very strange. I was stopped just as I was moaning and groaning about the impossibility of getting a quick flight from Scotland to the Canaries to do a TV show for Germany. I was moaning about it and looking at it going, oh, it's such a long, oh God, for only that amount of time. Da, da, da. And then the next day the film crew phoned up and said, well, we can't get the crew out. And then the next day the whole thing was shut down. So
that was
kind
that.
Of, well, I'm kind of pleased in one way, but in another I'm really sad now. And then bit by bit, lots of things I was supposed to do in Germany and across Europe all kind of stopped, and they said we'll hopefully do them in the future, but we have to just wait and see what happens. And then as it's going on and on, you're just sitting here thinking, I wonder if the world will ever open up again. Will we ever be able to travel anywhere ever again? It's a bit weird.
It's strange, isn't it? But for writers, I suppose, like what you is, who can't stop writing songs, I suppose, is it a gift? I don't know, for people like me, who I just speak with my mouth, as you know, and that's it. People like me who do interaction with people for a living, it's pretty tough. But I guess for people like you, you're sort of happy locked away, aren't you, just writing and writing?
No, because bizarrely, because I do a lot of touring. I write an album and then I tour for a long time. And bizarrely, some fans had got in touch with me and they'd said, you know, it's 4 or 5 years since you made that last album. And I was like, what, really? And yeah, when are you going to do a new one? And I was thinking, surely it can't be that long, because I'd been working constantly. Mm. And then when I looked, I thought, oh God, yeah, it was. So last year in January, we decided we would do a Christmas album, which I've always wanted to do, but I don't like that thing if you make it in the middle of the year when it's sunny. So I thought, perfect, Christmas, make a Christmas album. So chose loads of sort of 50s things my dad used to sing, some sort of really ancient medieval kind of choral things, and various other sort of songs that I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do that? So we went up into a little place in the hills outside Glasgow, took all the studio equipment, got it all going, made the album, fantastic, loved it. And then thought, okay, well, while we're on a roll, we've got all these new songs, let's do a new album. So did that, fantastic. Decided that there was some problems, so they couldn't get the Christmas album out on time. So they decided to hold that back. So they then issued the Starfields album. But then something happened. I don't know what was going on in Europe at the time, but there was something happened and we ended up, we didn't do much promotion on it. We kind of pulled it back. And so then when this year started, I thought, okay, right, I'm going to go in, I'm going to do a whole new album. And now that I haven't done any for so long, I'm just going to just spit them out like confetti. So went into the studio, decided to do this one with all the guys in the studio at the same time. So it was like a band. We were in there, we had the songs, we had the arrangements, but we thought, let's just all go in and play them. So went into a couple of different studios, did the thing, had a fantastic time, really enjoyed it. And then towards the end of it, I found myself sort of thinking, right, so we need to get it down to London, get it mastered and da-da-da-da-da. Got all that together, got it down, got the mastering stuff back a day before lockdown, literally. So we just finished everything and everybody's going, oh, this is great. And I was like, right, we've got it mastered. And then lockdown. Okay, so now we've got this new album. So all this time I've been, well, now I've been thinking, you know, I've just done all this. I can't really sit down and do more. So we decided to go back to the musical.
What's it called?
We don't know yet, because it used to be The Winter King, but we've kind of changed a lot of it. And it's basically a musical about the west of Scotland, where we're from, the kind of landscape and sort of fantasy sort of angle. But the other day, we actually, after this sort of lockdown thing was opened a bit here, we got a friend, Jarlath Henderson, who's like a fantastic pipes player. He's from Northern Ireland. And he came up and I wanted him to be the young guy's voice. And so we've sort of done some recording with his pipes and with his vocal pipes as well, and it's sounding really good. So we've got a new kind of lease of life on it, because we've been working on it over the years.
But you mentioned Germany. I mean, you're bigger in Germany than the sausage and the beach bath towel. I mean,
well, not quite.
but I mean, I remember seeing somewhere, wasn't it? Did you show me somewhere? There was a crossword or something, and there's your face in the middle of it, like you'd have Lorraine Kelly or Esther Ranson or something in it. I mean, are you that much of a household name in Germany and beyond? I mean, it's weird, isn't it?
Well, I wasn't aware of that, but well, that's quite nice actually to sort of know. I was once a question on one of those 4:30 quiz shows on TV. My next door neighbour came running in and said, "You've just been a question." I answered it.
There you are.
in Britain? You what? What?
Well, there you are. But the thing is, we first met, I'm afraid to say, back in 1976, wasn't it?
I think it was a long time ago.
When I was working for a label called Anchor, and we had a band called Ace, and we had Woodbees called Steely Dan and people like that. And, a few I can't re-mention. And, of course, there was Cade O'Bell, which was yourselves, and we enjoyed some lovely times together. But Cade O'Bell, they sort of become a sort of a cult thing, haven't they? I mean, the band sort of cracked it, but not in a major, major way. But it was definitely made an impact. And what a band it was.
Well, it was the beginning of punk that really kind of, we worked on through that, because we were really popular in universities and stuff like that. So we were still doing loads of gigs, but punk kind of took over mainstream with Billy Idol and stuff like that. So that kind of stopped us in our tracks a bit, I think. We worked on and worked on, and then Alan decided to go to America to go to do a guitar course, and Colin and I went to Ireland to work with an Irish band. Stuart went off to work with ABBA.
That's right.
I don't know. Everybody did all sorts of different things. We just decided to, you know, now was not the time, kind of thing. And strangely enough, I was just in the studio last night with my son, and we thought we'd just sit down and nerdle about a bit, and we ended up doing A Love of Your Own, the Average White Band song. Mm-hmm. And I was like singing it, and I thought, I've wanted to sing this all my life. I've always wanted to be Hamish Stewart.
You've always wanted to be Hamish Stewart.
So we've sort of gone back. I went back to my roots a bit last night, which was a bit weird.
Well, you can't, as they say in the vegetable world, you can't beat roots. Yeah, and I think Hamish Stewart and I are the same birthday. I met him once. Delightful gentleman. But just going on from Cade O'Bell. So that was Cade O'Bell, and I went on to 5 or 6 years of being an okay plugger before I started trampling in front of the camera. I don't think we ever worked together, but meanwhile, of course, you did. You got together with Mr. Oldfield, and that song Moonlight Shadow, is it a, I mean, I'm sure I guess you'd say this to anyone who's had a couple of major hits like that, is it round your neck, is it like, I've always got to sing this bloody song?
For a while, when I stopped working with Mike, I did loads of things with other people, but I didn't go on tour for a few years because I had a child and stuff, and decided to stay at home for a bit. But then when I started sort of going out on tour and stuff again, I didn't really want that to be the thing that I was plugging as the only thing I could do, because I felt it was the thing that Mike and I did together, sort of thing, you know, and it wasn't really my thing solo. And everybody said, you're crazy. And I kind of kept to that for a couple of years, and then I decided I actually like this song and I'd like to do it again, and there's been enough time between us working together for me to be able to do this song again without sort of feeling that it was the two of us together. So started doing it again, and it's a fantastic song and people love it, people have grown up with it, and you know, it's just a really lovely little song, and it touches a lot of people in different ways, and you know, you can't really fault that. It's fantastic
and to
France, have
to
one
France,
song
of course, with him. And weirdly, I never remember ever if you're in the Guinness Book of Records as having the highest entry in the chart without being named on the label. Was that right? Was that right? Because wasn't Moonlight Shadow just with Mike Oldfield?
Yeah, but that was when we did that. I mean, I'd been working with him for a year or more, and we were kind of working. I think I worked with Mike for about four and a half, 5 years, something like that. And it was at a time when you didn't really put featuring on record labels, so it wasn't really it wasn't something we actually thought about, if that makes sense.
Didn't you get fed up with without people, you know, with people not? Did you get fed up with that? Saying, oh, Maggie Riley, Maggie Riley, yeah.
I think Mike got more fed up with it because people kind of gave him a bit of stick for it. And I really don't believe it was done for any reason other than people just didn't. At that point, you didn't have loads of records with featuring. But after that point, because there was such a thing made of it, you started getting featuring whoever was, you know. Because I think poor Mike, he had like, Mike Oldfield, but it's a girl's voice, that's a boy's name, you know, and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Never thought of that, actually, so he must have been...
Yeah, so yeah. He must have been a bit better.
Give us another song, Mike. Yeah.
But then we did have things like To France. We had quite a lot of sort of solo, single-type things, rather than the usual musical pieces with vocals in, which was nice.
But I was talking to a chap who I've introduced you to, James Passy, and James is a great, he loves figures, he's a pretty good singer-songwriter. And we were talking yesterday, and he worked out, he said that Moonlight Shadow had something like 80 million hits or something, something ridiculous. He said 80
That's
million, 82. Every Time We Touch, which is another beautiful song, had 35, 40 million or something. So, I mean, that's a lot. So, but
Touch, I wrote, so it's a different thing.
You know,
Touch was a long time later and I wrote that. So it was a whole different ball game. And actually, it was lovely because that meant that I had some sort of success in both things, you know, named and not named kind of thing. So it was kind of nice. Every 10 years, I've got this lucky charm that says every 10 years, something good that I do gets noticed by people, which is hopefully will continue.
But why don't we did a gig together? Oh, I can't remember when we did the Bush Hall.
That was a while back.
That was a while back, and that was a beautiful gig with a few old chums turning up. So is it a bugger to tour here? I mean, why tour here when you're doing sellouts all around Europe? Finland's huge, isn't it? Massive.
Finland, that was the last tour we did before lockdown last year. I love travelling. I love doing all that. Britain, for years, I've travelled up and down all over Britain, and it's a long time since I've actually done shows here. And maybe because my name wasn't on that record, nobody really knows me here.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There would be that.
I don't know, but it's not really, I don't know, people haven't really kind of demanded. I mean, I do have fans, obviously, people who really like the music and they've liked Cato Bell and they've liked the whole thing all the way through, and that's fantastic. But I don't have like a huge presence, if that's what you call it here. Whereas in Europe, in Denmark, Norway, Finland, Italy, Spain, Germany, all those countries, Latvia and Lithuania, for goodness sake, you know, places like that, I have got a big profile for whatever reason. And so I'm able to go and do concerts there, sometimes with my band, sometimes with an orchestra, just whatever. And it's great because it's variety.
It's lovely.
It's lovely variety.
And you got that thing of being able to relax here, I guess, mobbed in Latvia and relaxed in Scotland, if that's what it is, I suppose. So the musical, obviously that's going to be available everywhere, isn't it? So that you might see a surge in UK?
Well, I think the idea, because we've taken it, it came about, we started to do it ages ago, and then I wrote three pieces for the Berlin Opera Choir. and they went on an album, and we did some TV performances with the choir and everything, and it was really lovely. And we thought, well, why don't we big this up a bit more instead of just doing it how we were thinking of doing it, as musicians writing a thing rather than actors acting it. We kind of thought, well, let's put a bit more of this. And so it's kind of, it's evolved over time, but it's still based in the west coast of Scotland.
It's amazing, isn't it, Maggie? I mean, to say, woke up, had breakfast, hit husband on head with broomstick, wrote three songs for opera.
I know. Yeah, but it's kind of, you know, it's fantastic to hear other people do stuff that you've written. And then we decided that the best way to go about this, because we had been for a long time, we were looking at, we did a theatre production here in Glasgow to see how it would work as a basic form. And we decided that we would do an album first, you know, like an old-fashioned concept album.
I remember them very well.
Yeah, well, we decided that would be the way to do it. So that's what we're working on, to do this concept so we can actually let people hear it. Because I've gone out and taken some little snapshots to Copenhagen, to the guy who's got the major orchestra there, and I've said to him, you know, what do you think? And I've gone to Norway, and I've gone around a few people and said, what do you think? Would this be a thing that you could work on? And for orchestras, it takes them like 2 to 3 years to just put something into production. So we thought the best way to do it is make it a concept album and then see what we can do with it.
Well, what you have Pete Townsend is Tommy Mark too. And of course, the worst thing about working for an orchestra is you have to take them all out for a drink afterwards, don't you?
It depends. I did a thing a couple of years ago in Germany with this French guy who'd written this thing called Excalibur, and they had all sorts of different people working on this. They had a woman who had worked in the circus, and she hung from strands of silk, and they had a ballerina from Russia. They had all sorts. It was fantastic. And the orchestra came from Bulgaria, and they were hysterically funny. They were the most amazing people.
So it's busy, 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 Maggie. Busy, busy. I don't know. That's incredible. But here we are. Here we are all these years
later.
Well,
see, if we don't keep busy, what else are we going to do?
Maggie, lovely. And I'll see you and your other half or three quarters very, very soon, we hope.
It's lovely to hear from you. Let's not make it so long next time.
No, let's not another 40, whatever it is, years. Maggie, God bless, and good luck with the musical and the lot. And me, Missy, sends love too. Take care, yeah?
Thanks, Steve.
Bye.